Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hello and welcome to this, I guess, special episode of Microbrew, Milwaukee Brewers Chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. My name is J.R. Radcliffe. I'm joined on the other line. Well, actually, he's right across from me. It's Kurt Hogue, Brewers reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It's a special episode because, Kurt,
we have no news.
We have nothing to talk about.
It's special because we're here.
We're here, I guess. The Milwaukee Brewers have done very little. They've spent $0.00 in free agency. Is that accurate?
No. Well, I mean, they signed a guy.
Yes, they did.
A non-guaranteed split contract. But like,
In guaranteed free agent dollars, the Milwaukee Brewers. It's January 7th, the year of our Lord 2025. Happy New Year, everybody. Merry Christmas. Hope you and yours, etc. They have not done anything. Now, they are not alone.
Somewhere between a quarter and a fifth of the league, basically, right? Like,
the Cardinals haven't spent any money.
Yeah.
The Mariners haven't spent any money.
Six or seven teams have not.
The Padres haven't spent any money. Those are playoff teams. Padres, Braves, what are they doing? They're just sitting there waiting.
Yeah, it's a bizarre world.
It's bizarre and also a little discouraging because this is the Brewers' time. This is, you know, everybody tries to get bargains on like Black Friday, but for baseball players, it's after the holidays that the bargains start to roll in, that the players are not commanding the contracts they thought they were going to get.
We still got time.
We've got a long
spring training's not for a month. Players are not we still got time. These agents can hold out a few more weeks.
They're desperate. They're not desperate.
But they will be.
They will be. So we're going to talk about what's left for the Brewers to do. There's some predictions from jsonline.com. We are not going to make our predictions yet.
No, not yet. That's a very special day.
Yeah, very special day. Yeah, we get very specific when you're talking about our.
This is my year.
This is the one where you make a correct prediction. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I had one last year. It was the problem is my correct ones get not only outweighed, but they get like pushed to the bottom of the sea. They drown by the weight of the anchor that is the bad ones.
Yeah, your metaphors are so tortured. They take forever to get out. That is like the ultimate torture metaphor. It's fine. We do not intend to make our predictions accurate. Although Kurt, there was one in the JS, and check these out at jsonline.com. Todd Rosiak and Kurt Hogue put together some predictions. It's the turn of the calendar. You're starting to think about baseball again. We're only 6 weeks away from, you know, I wouldn't call it's not real baseball, but it's not.
No, nothing. You get tweets of
green grass,
and people playing catch.
Yeah.
And Pat Murphy will be saying things.
There was one that interested me, and that was Cooper Pratt making his major league debut in 2025. Hello. That's spicy. That's spicy.
It is spicy.
Here is why I want to start there, because I do think Cooper Pratt speaks a little bit to the current situation in terms of what they're going to do or what they should still do in free agency. Alex Bregman is still out there. He's not coming to the Brewers. He's not coming to the Brewers. He's going to command way more money than the Brewers will be willing to spend. But he could impact the Brewers at least in one way, in that if, let's say, the Philadelphia Phillies sign Alex Bregman and then they want to move Alec Baum, and Alec Baum becomes a player who could be traded for. And that's where a team like the Brewers jumps in. Now, that's specific names and specific circumstances. There's a lot of teams, I imagine, who could maybe be interested in moving a third baseman if it turns out that they want to get Alex Bregman. I guess the question is, at this point in the season, where do you stand on which of the guys from between Joey Ortiz, who played third base, and Bryce Terang, who played second, which of those guys is more likely to shift over to shortstop in your mind at this point, based on what the Brewers have done or said or the vibes? And then is that then, does that then inform what maybe they could still be doing? Because I think we can all agree they need an infielder.
They need an infielder
real bad. Like Bryce Terang as a holdover is kind of wild.
You can't. I mean, he did win the Platinum.
No. I'm sorry. If you had talked at this time last year, where we're like Bryce Terang might not be a big leaguer.
Oh yeah, yeah. Bryce Terang is the guy you feel by far the best about as the holdover.
100%. That's wild to me.
No, they
because offensively he's
guy.
Still quite bad, but that's obviously he's very valuable. But like this is, it's crazy that they just don't have the guys on the infield right now.
Yeah, Joey Ortiz is the shortstop the way I see it right now. No, like they're not going to pigeonhole themselves into that having to be their situations. They're not going to come out and say it. Because they could sign a shortstop and they could move Joey Ortiz to third. They could sign a second baseman, I guess. I don't think they're really going to do that. They could go get a third baseman. You could trade for any of these guys too. Like Alec Bohm, you know, the Rockies probably, they don't really know what they're ever doing. So Ryan McMahon, I'm guessing, is not going to be available. But like there are options out there that the Brewers could trade for. Third base seems to make the most sense simply because of like market saturation. Ha-Sung Kim is the shortstop that you could go get. Like Jose Iglesias is out there too, maybe, if you want to go that way. But there's just not a lot of guys tradable or signable from shortstop. Like Geraldo Perdomo might be on the outs in Arizona, but I'm not sure they want to part with their depth there. So like you said, they need a guy, JR. They need another guy. You cannot roll into the season with a Caleb Durbin, Oliver Dunn, Andre Monasterio. What is it? Is it a platoon if it's three people? A triumvirate? And feel good about it. I'm sorry, I just can't get with that.
Yeah, I mean, if Andre Monasterio is on this team, I'll be a little surprised.
I will be surprised
because that feels like what the Caleb Durbin signing is, or Oliver Dunn. I don't know exactly, but man.
Also, Vinny Capra is out of options, and Andre Monasterio has two because he didn't burn one last year. So I would be surprised if Andre Monasterio is on the team. And I'm not saying Vinny Capra is going to make the team either, but like I don't think there's that big of a difference between the two.
The Brewers have a thing for Vinny's. There's a Vinny Natoli now. There's, of course, Vinny Rotino on the broadcast with Vinny Capra. A lot of Vinny going on. The Brewers don't have a major league infield right now. And I still have a little faith left in Brock Wilkin as a guy who can contribute
at some point.
Yeah. It's been tough for the Wilkin Hive. I would say that, though, even in the most optimistic dream scenarios, he's not a guy you can have on the team coming out of, you know, spring training in 2025. So obviously third base feels like the biggest hole, and then they're just kind of patchworking it together. I mean, you also have to look at first base as not a great spot. You know, Jake Bowers,
no, could be worse.
Hero is back.
Could be worse, but not a great spot whatsoever. I mean, like, I think the Zips projections came out. I don't know if you're planning on talking about those here, but
let's do it. Let's talk Zips.
But first base was projected for the same WAR as third base.
Yes.
And that's not good for the Milwaukee Brewers because you're paying $18 million to that spot and you can't move off of it. The Brewers will try to. They can try to move off of that contract. I can tell you they have been trying to move off it and they're just not going to be able to. Like, who's going to take on that contract for a year with that production if the Brewers aren't giving back like some sort of prospect capital? And I don't think they're willing to do that. So it's just let Rhys Hoskins ride out, and maybe he's better in year two.
It pains me because, as everyone who listens to this knows, we were big fans of the Rhys Hoskins signing. He was kind of the Alex Bregman last year, not maybe to that level, but a guy that we thought made a lot of sense, bounce back candidate. It hasn't worked out. Maybe he bounces back further this season, and it's okay. And I actually think that's probably what's going to happen. I think he'll be better this year than last.
Should be.
But
should be,
you know, that's unfortunately why an Alex Bregman signing, Rhys Hoskins for 2 years and a lot of money, that's kind of a low risk, but it's not high risk either. I mean, they will be out from under the Hoskins contract at this time next year.
The problem for the Brewers is that these are the deals that you like, they have to take on this, and there is risk with it. For the Brewers, this is legitimate risk because you have to give him that second year of a player option in order to get him for that first year. And what that means is if he stinks, well, guess what? You're stuck with him in year two, but you have to do that in order to land him in the first place. And then what it means in year two is you have no money to spend.
Yeah.
Because it's all going to him, essentially, like as we've talked about. That is essentially their one acquisition that they make basically every year. They sign or accumulate that sort of salary in some way, shape, or form. But now it's like they signed Rhys Hoskins for $18 million, you know, start of December or whatever. And okay, there, that's where that pot of money goes to. So now they're operating with like, well, we don't have any money. So
yeah,
kind of hands tied behind your back. And like, there's still got to be something done out there. This roster cannot be complete. I'm sure the Brewers are not done with it. But yeah, the infield is not up to satisfaction, I would say, at this point.
Maybe they're spending all their resources on convincing Roky Sasaki that Milwaukee is very lovely in the summertime.
It is.
It's so great. It's so underrated. Not even underrated. At this point, everyone knows how underrated it is. National writers keep talking about how underrated Milwaukee is. But Roky Sasaki, I think, is probably going to a much larger market where where there are many cities that are lovely in the summertime. San Diego is lovely in the summertime. But I don't know if that's going to happen. That's interesting. One thing that happened right before the new year is that the Brewers went, they're going back to Bally. That's FanDuel Sports Network now, but whatever. They decided not to have MLB produce their broadcasts and distribute them. So that's obviously that matters a lot to people who are watching. It's going to be status quo. They go back to this old arrangement. What strikes me about it is that is contrary to what Major League Baseball wants their clubs to do. They want to move in a direction where they get the streaming rights for every team. And there has been momentum in that direction. The Padres, the Diamondbacks, the Rockies, the Twins and Reds this year are moving to this MLB model. So that's been like the goal of MLB. So it made perfect sense in October when the Brewers said, all right, our contract's up with Bally. We're moving on. It's not getting us that much money anyway because they're one of the small. They are the smallest market in baseball. They're not getting money from their TV contract anyway, so they went to that, and that was fine. And then on New Year's Eve at 3 p.m., that is the time you pick when you don't really want people to pay much attention to it or care too deeply about it.
That was such a good Friday news drop.
Yeah, as Friday news drop as it could get without being on an actual Friday. They said, "Oh, by the way, we have re-engaged and we are getting back with Bally. We are ever getting back together." And so that tells me one of two possible things, Kurt, that the logistics of going through MLB were just not tenable to reach more people. I find that hard to believe. It's worked in other markets and conceivably will work in more. Or they realized if we go to MLB, we'll have zero money. We will go from the poverty ranks to something south of that. We will be unable to function. We need to go back to our previous arrangement to at least for one more year, bridge this gap to when we can have a broader MLB model and we can get greater revenue sharing out of that or whatever the terminology is. Anyway, I think they're poor and I think they're not going to sign anybody. That's what I'm coming back to, Kurt.
Well, okay. Well, we can get into the move itself, but to your point of they're poor. Look, I'm not going to sit here and talk and, you know, cry about the money that billionaires have, but the reality of the TV contract situation is this. The Dodgers make what, like $330 million per year in their TV deal?
So much dough.
The Brewers are like one-tenth of that, or one-ninth of one-tenth of that.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculously low.
Yeah.
And that's what you're competing. And the reality of that situation is it's like there's not really a whole lot you can do about it because these TV deals, right, are based on market size.
Yeah.
And despite the fact that the Brewers get good ratings, people watch their games in market. Like it's an older audience here, especially like, so they still get decent cable ratings. That doesn't impact the money they get. So,
yeah, it's not about, oh, we have a big market share. So, a lot of people watch in market. And yeah. None of that matters.
So it's understandable that the MLB package long-term could provide some better financial outlook for the Brewers, who again have a very loyal and devoted fan base, a fan base that will watch games. And theoretically the MLB package could, because it's you're getting money, I believe, based upon the like the market consumption of your product, that would be better for them. But yeah. Between the difficulties of this of starting it up and like that whole logistical thing, and then Bally or Diamond or whatever. There's so many brand name changes in this that I don't even know what they're called anymore.
Diamond Sports, formerly Bally Sports.
But didn't Diamond Sports change their name, didn't they?
No, I think Diamond is a spinoff of Sinclair. Sinclair spun off to Diamond. At first, they were connected, and now they're separate.
I could have sworn I got an email about a rebrand.
Fox Sports Wisconsin, which was not affiliated with Fox because that got spun off. Fox Sports Wisconsin became Bally Sports Wisconsin. It is now the FanDuel Sports Network. I don't think Diamond hasn't changed its name, but who cares? Because no one uses the name Diamond when they're talking about where can I watch the Brewers tonight.
Right.
It's very complicated.
They use the betting company. FanDuel.
Yeah.
Yeah. While we're at it, just plop a couple bucks down. We are not sponsored by FanDuel.
Yes. We are not even going into the morality of having gambling so central to our sports coverage.
Well.
We could.
Part of it too is like it's just fine to do another year, I guess. If you look at it as the Brewers see it, like they are no longer responsible for this year of like getting this whole thing together in essentially a bit of a rush. Bally or whatever has Diamond, FanDuel can take care of it, their employees, their contracts, well, all their equipment, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then the plan would be the Brewers can just pick this up the following season. So like it kind of just feels like a big shrug emoji, but it does stink for a lot of fans.
Yeah.
And that was one of the funny things about this was like, it was touted a bit in this press release as like, this is good for the fans that want to watch us. We're still going to be on the same platform we've always been on. It's like, didn't you guys just tout that like nobody can get your games?
And that moving will be great for the fans that want to watch us.
Which it would be.
Well, and
which it would be.
I mean, we're not talking about a market step forward in reach, I guess, because you're going from, so MLB would be basically producing the games, but it would still be a cable channel. It would still, now there's probably a chance that it reaches somewhat more people on some of these services, but more than likely than not, it's a little status quo, and there's a partnership with Amazon. So instead of getting a Bally Sports app, you can make a payment through Amazon, and that would wind up probably the same. It'll be the same amount of money. And probably the quality of game will be a little better. That's one of the problems fans have had with the Bally Diamond FanDuel is that it is poor quality through the app, and the app drops games all the time. It's terrible. In my experience, it's terrible. I know a lot of people have expressed similar things. Amazon will probably be a little bit more shaped up, you know,
sure.
Probably be a better experience. So there's that, and maybe that by default reaches. But I do find it interesting, Kurt, as probably maybe a separate issue. I'm not sure. They've gone down in attendance the last few years. Not something that was happening prior to COVID. And so there's always that COVID wrench that maybe, you know, it's hard to really gauge, but I don't mean gone down in gross attendance. I mean, gone down where they rank in baseball. They definitely are. They've gone back to a middle to slightly below middle of the pack, and they're winning baseball games. Like they've won 90 plus games the last 2 years. That's interesting to me. And it goes back to our conversations about why is it declining? Is like, is it because people don't see them on TV and they can't engage with this team in the background, so they're just not as interested as going to games?
Maybe I feel like this is a whole nother elephant to try to tackle. Huge. Is Brewers attendance not significantly down, but historically when the Brewers are good, people are really, really showing up. And it's not that they're not showing up, they're just not really, really showing up.
Yeah it's so not a huge,
I don't know what to make of it. But also on the other hand, the Brewers are coming off a year with record revenue,
mm-hmm.
which is also a bit of a flag when you see record revenue and we're just not gonna add anything to the team right. This year. And I get it, the TV situation is what it is, and that is real and it impacts finances, but it's a bizarro business side of things for the Brewers right now, and that's even with the stadium deal taken care of, which, oh, by the way, I did look this up. Main Street Sports Group is what Diamond Sports Group rebranded to, because that's what the internet tells me.
When did they rebrand to Diamond Sports Group? Rebranding.
See,
this is one day ago.
So,
1 day ago.
So in like the last 3 years, we've gone from Diamond to Main Street, and we've gone from Fox Sports to Bally to FanDuel. Do I have that correct?
You do, and they're all related. Yep. But Diamond was part of Sinclair. So it was Sinclair that managed when it was Fox Sports Wisconsin.
My brain hurts.
And then it spun off to Diamond. Having emerged from bankruptcy, Diamond is now Main Street Sports. You are breaking news to me. This is a couple days ago, not one, but a couple. I missed that.
And let's make this clear. FanDuel is not running this company. FanDuel is simply basically giving them money to have their name.
Well, it's like American Family Insurance isn't right. running the stadium.
That's right. I just want to clarify that. FanDuel is not doing the broadcast. They're just giving them the money, which, hey, who's in bed with who and who's running it? That's up to you to decide, but like they're not directly. Anyway, can we talk about baseball? Let's talk about the 2025 Brewers.
Who are the 2025 Brewers, Kurt? Because they, you know what? Let's talk about them in reference, because the Cubs have made moves. And I think if you look at what the Cubs have done, they have, I think they've surpassed the Brewers, who are at this point running it back. We all know there are going to be changes to this roster. There are going to be ingredients that are added. I do believe that they actually will sign an infielder or acquire an infielder of substance. But right now, the Cubs have done some things. Kyle Tucker is a Cub. They've added a couple dudes. And I think they're better than the Brewers on paper by a lot right now.
But the Cubs haven't done that much.
Tell me why you
think that. They traded Cody Bellinger away. Cody Bellinger's still a good player, even if the contract was a bit silly from the jump. And look, the Cubs are a good team. They're deep, you know, 1 through 9 lineup. The starting pitching is solid.
If it's healthy, it's solid.
If healthy, it's solid. The bullpen's still a bit murky, but they got some guys back there I like. And they play good defense. And obviously, they have the highest paid manager in baseball, so therefore they are the best off in that regard as well.
Yeah.
So, look, the Cubs are not a bad team. But here's where I think the 2025 Brewers stand. I feel like we're doing it again.
We're doing it.
I feel like we as a baseball community are doing the same thing we always do with the Brewers.
Which is doubt them.
Like, this was a good baseball team last year. They won 93 games, 92 games,
93.
Yeah. Their Pythag record was 95 wins.
Impressive.
Their run differential was incredible. Like, it wasn't just one run game BS, essentially, for the entire season. The Brewers were a very good baseball team. The offense was what, top 10?
Yes, or maybe like 11.
The bullpen was number one, I believe. The starting pitching was kind of meh, but it should be better this year. What did they? They lost Willie Adames. They lost Devin Williams. But Devin Williams comes from a position of strength in the bullpen. It reinforces your starting pitching with the acquisition of Nestor Cortez. So really, like, I don't see that as a huge net loss in terms of WAR. Willie Adames, obviously, that's significant. They have not replaced that yet. But I'm not sure there's enough there, especially when you consider everything else is coming back, and. Heck, there might be some improvements in performance from some of these young players. Like, there's variance there, which could go both ways. Like, what if Bryce Tarang's not a 4-win player? Sure. I just think they're still a good baseball team.
Zips, one of the annual projection systems. This one produced by Dan Szymborski, right? At FanGraphs.
Yep.
Some Zips projections came out. And as of right now, the Cubs are seen as a teeny tiny favorite over the Brewers, but not by, you know, by like a win or two. Like, it comes down to the wire in the last week of the season. And the Cubs, you know, they have the better lineup. They've got Kyle Tucker, who's a, you know, 4.5 win player. They project Dansby Swanson for, you know, almost a 5 win player, one of the best defensive players, you know, on an infield in all of baseball. Nico Horner's in there as well. Like you said, good defense from there. And the starters are okay. But their relievers are not as good as Milwaukee's. Starters are probably a little bit better, but not markedly so. Catcher situation, not as good because the Brewers have William Contreras, who is the best catcher in the National League. So, you know, it's talking about like 86 to 87 win teams, both of them. So that's actually more optimistic than what, if you recall last year, the Brewers were seen as a team that was maybe going to finish 500.
Yeah.
You and I, at least me, I'll speak for myself. Absolutely was like 500, maybe a little below. That's the best I can give that team.
And I'm not doing that again. I'm not doing that again this year. I'm not falling into that trap.
But also, you also don't want to fall in the trap of being like, well, the Brewers are just always good. Like, we should just assume
they
figure it out. Because it, you know, I'll ask another question later about them. I mean, it does, you could see a scenario where this how it's a little bit of a house of cards and it comes undone. Because you just never supplemented the things that you really needed.
Yeah, and sure. And like that argument about the Brewers, the Brewers always do this. Yeah, that's a bit of a crutch. But like also, all things equal, but if you see all things equal between the Brewers and the Cubs, like wouldn't you just go with the team that like has proven to get the most out of its roster, to be better at player development at the big league level, to be better at like
relying
on depth and figuring things out as they go. I don't know. That's kind of essentially where I sit right now. This Brewers roster is not perfect. It's like,
it'll never be.
It's the Brewers are somewhat propped up right now by the NL Central, not trying whatsoever. I think the entire division, including the big market Cubs, have signed what, like four MLB free agents.
Reds have been active. Gavin Lux.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, the Reds have made some moves for sure. They did sign Nick Martinez to a qualifying offer, if you want to throw that in there.
So, but like,
not including the QOs and not including the Kyle Tucker trade, which isn't really fair because that's a big acquisition, but it's only for a year. Like, the biggest free agent signing in this division is Matt Boyd.
Oh, you might be right. Chicago Cubs, at least, but yeah.
Yeah, no, the Cardinals haven't signed anyone. The Pirates got Kutch. The Brewers have not gotten anyone.
Minor league deals.
The Cubs have gotten a couple guys here and there on the fringes, but like Carson Kelly, I think, is there. But
yeah.
Obviously, Kyle Tucker moves the needle significantly for 2025. I don't want to downplay that. He might be the best player in the division right now.
I think unquestionably.
William Contreras is pretty good.
Well, yeah, you're right. You're right.
William Contreras. Ellie De La Cruz is pretty good.
He's not better than Kyle Tucker. Not right now.
I know. I guess, but you're saying for 2025.
Yeah.
I mean, Kyle Tucker is really, really good. So we shouldn't downplay that. But like, the Cubs aren't exactly taking this thing by the reins either. They're still doing a bit of this cute little dance. They got aggressive with the Kyle Tucker move. Like that's a cool 1 year, get the guy, maybe sign him to extension. Like that's a power play, but nothing else they do really is along those lines. So I'm just unconvinced that the Cubs right now are better, significantly better than the Brewers are. I think we're doing the same dance we always do with the Brewers, and not really accounting enough for like, what if Jackson Churio is the best player in the division? That could very well be true. What if you get a, you know.
And Zips, not undervalues, but Zips is conservative with what they expect out of Jackson Churio.
And we talked about this last year with the Brewers. They have a lot of variance, and it turned out the variance was all good.
Yes.
And that's not necessarily going to be the case this year, but like, there's still a lot of room in there for variance with someone like Garrett Mitchell. Sal Frelick was a 2-win player without hitting. Bryce Turang was a 4-win player without hitting. There's just room in there. What if, you know, how does Brandon Woodruff perform? I don't know. I see the Brewers in a bit of a different light, I think, than maybe the market is right now, because you look at the you know, you look at the roster and you're like, oh, Blake Perkins, their third baseman is Caleb Durbin.
Maybe.
And
or Oliver Dunn.
You just assume it's not going to go well, but guess what? It usually ends up going well.
Yeah. We will have a lot of time, I think, to talk about Mitchell and some of these individual guys as we get closer. But I know that you sneaky think Garrett Mitchell is capable of doing some big things. Sal Frelick, maybe with just a simple tweak, could become a much more valuable player. And you said this to me in a previous conversation, but look at someone like Jacob Mizorowski, who we've talked about a lot. I think we both expect him to be at the big league level at some point this year. Probably not right away. He's a little bit of a guy he's got control problems. You know, he's not quite ready to rein those in, but the Brewers have examples of guys. They get to the big league level and they just kind of make those control problems go away. You know, Aaron Ashby is a good example.
Kind of.
I think you're still higher on him than I am in terms of what you think Ashby will ultimately provide the Brewers this year or beyond. But Abner Uribe is a decent example of a guy who had major control problems and then they just kind of went away, and they have a couple other guys.
Like, guys just get to the big leagues and their command is a tick better.
Yeah.
With the Brewers. Tobias Myers, remember some of those early starts?
Absolutely.
Like, it wasn't necessarily the control, but he was getting pounded because he was just missing his, like, the fastball was just middle.
I think.
And he suddenly was like, think about his playoff start toward the end of the year. He's just pinpointing the fastball.
You're absolutely right. The one thing I would say about the Brewers Zips projections is that they have Brandon Woodruff at a 3.3. Outside of William Contreras, that is literally the second highest individual player that they're acknowledging.
Yeah.
And I think that's,
we'll tap the brakes,
wildly optimistic that you're going to get that much out of Brandon Woodruff this year.
Both in terms of health and performance.
100%. Yeah. Absolutely. So maybe, you know, if everything goes right with Brandon Woodruff, sure. Like that's a best case scenario in my mind. And I don't know if you can really plan for that, but we'll see. Freddie Peralta 3.1. Yeah, I could see it. It's possible. What else has been going on with the Milwaukee Brewers? They traded for
nothing.
Yes, nothing at all.
Nothing. Jake Bowers is back. Kind of.
I want to ask you something about Pat Murphy.
Well, we just steamrolled past playoff legend Jake Bowers.
Look, I, as somebody who has followed this Brewers team, appreciate when they actually have a first baseman who can catch the ball when it is thrown across a diamond. That's key. It's good to have those people on hand. We're talking about a guy who is signed to a minor league deal. He is invited to spring training, but he is not on the 40-man roster. I do not think it's a guarantee that he is on the 40-man roster when camp breaks, but who knows?
Do you think any team in baseball, like the fans or the media, spend more time talking about and breaking down minor league free agent signings than the Brewers?
Oh, I do. I do.
You think so?
Well, the Brewers are not alone. The Brewers are not the only team in this bucket.
Because... But it's not just that the Brewers are the only ones that do it. It's like the Brewers are really good at it.
That's true.
They don't, and the Brewers don't sign anyone else.
I would bet
this is all we have to talk about.
I hear what you're saying. I would bet there are Cleveland Guardians people like us, the Cleveland versions of us.
Okay.
Do you think your Cleveland version has a mustache? I feel like that would be the thing.
No, that's my Mariners version.
Oh, the
which
Mariners
is which you. Is adjacent, adjacent to the Cleveland version. You should see the Tampa Bay version.
Oh gosh, the Tampa Bay version.
Yeah,
I am the Tampa Bay version.
It's Florida Kurt. Well, the Tampa version of you is pool boy.
That's right, pool boy. He golfs. He golfs a little bit. He has a great tan.
You golf here.
I have golfed one time with you. That was literally, actually, that is the second time that I golfed in 2024. And it was on November 20th. And that is more than I've golfed in a year, twice in a year, than probably in the last 5 years. But I've completely lost my train of thought now that I'm visualizing the version of us who lives in
Tampa Bay, sorry, I got this derailed bad.
Kansas City, maybe? They're kind of back a little bit, question mark. Pat Murphy.
Yes.
Manager of the year, reigning manager of the year. I think very highly of him and the job that he did in 2024. I voted for him for manager of the year, so that's on record. You can look that up. But do you wonder, because okay, you wrote about that the Orange Lifesavers thing. That was one of the stories that you love to write the most from last Brewers season, just about how he values those, like, not blue chip prospects, but like the next level down, the guys who grind a little bit,
yeah,
and have some things go against them and they push through it. Dustin Pedroia is like the perfect example of that. Dustin Pedroia, who had a borderline Hall of Fame career. But do you think that sort of love of that type of player could ultimately hold this team back because they don't try to get more of those blue chip guys? They try to, because I think you're more likely to get a really good college team out of grinders and those second tier guys than you are at the major league level. I feel like the Brewers kind of did it last year.
Yeah. I mean, the argument against the Brewers, right, is like, yeah, they had 95 Pythag wins, but like that was 90th percentile outcome or 80th percentile outcome for the Brewers. What if that doesn't happen again? But I don't know if that's like an argument against the type of players that they have. Like, these guys have now proven what they're capable of at the big league level. So they're, is some real talent in there. It's not like, you know, Blake Perkins was rattling off a 4-win season while carrying a 500 BABIP. Like, they do it largely with defense and finding these marginal or these ways on the margins to win. But I think to your point, like, you brought up something interesting in the way you phrased it. And it's like their love for these types of players. Look, the Brewers would probably like to get better players.
Yeah, I would hope so. That's what I'm saying.
David Stearns left and immediately signed someone to the largest contract in professional sports history, right?
Well, a year went by before he did that, but yes.
Sure, yeah. I mean, but like, probably at his core, David Stearns would tell you, like, yeah, that's, is it, does it make, like, computer sense? No, it was an overpay. But he wants to, like, he signed Frankie Montas to a multi-year contract for a significant amount of money. Like,
more money than any one of us would have paid.
Yes. So my point being, people that run baseball teams in the front office, like, they like spending money and acquiring players, especially when it's not their money. So the Brewers are just sort of, this is, I don't know, the world that they have defaulted to, mm-hmm. in a way, and they perform very well in it.
Do you think it's over for Tyler Black? Do you think there's any way he takes at bats for the Milwaukee Brewers in 2025?
Well, yeah, of course there's a way. A very real possibility still.
Okay.
They're not like punting him. It's just that his value was clearly at its highest last year at this point. And you know, maybe it it can rehab its way back up. Maybe we've gone from one extreme to the other, from, oh, Tyler Black is the first Mason in the future, to Tyler Black can't play Major League Baseball.
The truth is somewhere in the middle.
And maybe it's somewhere in the middle. Maybe he really can hit. Maybe his bat really can carry the glove. So it just makes it tough to, like, he's clearly on the, I don't want to say on the outs, but the roster picture clearly doesn't have him at the center of it.
Yeah.
And those players are tough to trade away, when the reality is, like, the Brewers would probably acknowledge truthfully that there's still some value in here. And if they're not just, you know, fluffing the guy up, it's not completely over for Tyler Black. It's, you know, but he's on the outs in a way, and those players are difficult to trade.
The Brewers farm system is probably top 10 in baseball.
Yeah, probably around there.
I don't think it's higher than that. I don't think it's like a top 5 farm system based on what I've seen. Moving into an interesting period of time, because a lot of these guys are about to become major league ready players. Jefferson Caro is a good example. I would imagine that you don't see him much at the major league level, barring an injury, so that he can rehab, you know, not rehab, but have a full season under his belt after shoulder surgery robbed him of his 2024 season. Right now, if you look at MLB pipeline anyway, he's regarded as the number one prospect in the organization. You and I would quibble with that, but still, he's very highly regarded. Black is a guy, Robert Gasser, obviously. Gasser. Robert Gasser is a guy who, you know, probably is almost certainly not going to pitch in 2025, coming off of Tommy John surgery, but he has contributed. Mentioned Wilkin. And then there's a couple other guys, Mizorowski, Cooper Pratt. Like, we, as I said at the outset here, you mentioned him as a guy who could make his debut in 2025. Does his, as somebody who might be a starting player for this team in 2026, mm-hmm. Does that impact it? Because you're not going to go pay a lot of money or even like a 3-year contract or a 2-year contract with a mid-level second or third baseman if you think Cooper Pratt can be a contributor later this year or certainly early next year. You know, that might impact what they're doing if he really is that close to the big leagues.
But do the Brewers really operate in like the mid-tier market anyway?
No, I guess they don't.
Ha-Sung Kim sort of is that market.
Yeah, because he's injured, but, you know? But this year, he won't be around this year for most of this
year. This year he's not. Like, he's a 1-year deal probably because he wants to go get paid next year because of the injury. And again, Ha-Sung Kim fits the Brewers perfectly and is probably the guy they should sign. But maybe next year at this time, we're looking at it as a Rhys Hoskins level deal because they're going out and getting another guy who's hurt. Again, that's the risk the Brewers take on. You have to he's cheap, relatively speaking, compared to what his market should be for a reason, because he was hurt. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we can keep banging the Ha-Sung Kim drum.
You're a big fan. I don't mind it. I mean,
I think it would work perfect. Like, if the shoulder,
it's distressed asset territory.
Big question, but like, elite defender he has been. The bat has been average. What more do you want?
Well, yeah, I mean, Kim at short, Joey Ortiz back to third, Bryce Turang back to second.
Yeah, suddenly you have the best defensive infield, 100%. Including with Rhys Hoskins. He's still the best defensive infield.
I told my wife that I think I'm a better defensive first baseman than Rhys Hoskins, immediately had to backtrack because I do know he made one diving play at least last year, and I do not believe I'm physically capable of that.
When was that?
There was one. I'm sure of it because I remember being in the press box and being like, oh, you know, I thought, oh, did they sub Bowers in?
Do you remember the Jake Bowers game-saving play?
Absolutely.
That was wild.
Game-saving defensive play. It was incredible. It was on par with Sal Frelick taking away a home run, but
can I tell a story about that?
You can. Game? I was going to say that one was just going to cause a tie game. It was the final out. Jake Bowers was like, was a sudden death moment.
They were up,
makes the play. Yeah. With runners, I think bases loaded.
Two, but yeah.
Certainly two runs would have scored in the gate. They would have lost. So anyway, tell me a story about the Sal Frelick.
No, not Sal. Sorry. This was the Jake Bowers game.
Okay.
So it involves the pitcher in the game, Devin Williams. Previously, did Devin pitch twice that day?
It was like a doubleheader.
Was it the double? Was that?
I don't recall that happening. Josh Hader did that a couple years ago.
Because there was a doubleheader.
Okay.
It might have been the day before. Either way, I think it was the day before. Devin got a save in a doubleheader, or he pitched in a doubleheader, and it was against the Reds, who he absolutely owned, mm-hmm. dominated. That was probably the final time he pitched against them with the Brewers.
Could be.
He has not given up a hit to them since like the mid part of 2022 or absolute something insane
ownership.
And of course, Devin's aware of this. Of course he is. And so after the game, Devin's also very superstitious. After the game, in talking to him with the media, it was a very small group of people. Sophia mentioned something like, "Do you like, are you aware of your numbers against the red?" And Devin's like, "Yep." Sophia's like, "All right, we're all like, okay, yep. Don't bring that up." And she's like, "Do you want to talk about it?" And he's like, "Nope." Like, all right. And then for whatever reason, a reporter from Cincinnati decides to inform him of his numbers.
Okay.
And had some funny line to go along with it. And that's probably not a great idea to do to a very superstitious baseball player, because there's still two more games left in the series. And the next day, all of a sudden, Devin is he doesn't have his stuff. Wobbling. He's wobbling. He's about to blow not only the hitless streak against the Reds, but he's about to blow the game. Mm-hmm. And then Jake Bowers absolutely saves it. And that reporter let out a very large sigh of relief.
Yes.
In the press box.
Incredible.
Yeah.
That's very funny. I want to briefly check in on the bullpen. There's so many people here, because you mentioned Devin Williams, who is not here, but there's so many options. And I think, I guess primarily I'm interested in Abner Uribe and Craig Yoho, because I think both of those guys could have a lot to say about how this bullpen works in 2025. And I don't know if either one of them should be penciled in as making the opening day roster. You floated an interesting name to me as closer. We talked about Trevor McGill. He's the obvious next man up at closer. But you floated an interesting name to me. And I feel like there's 15 guys you could put into this bullpen, and it's just not going to be that many spots. I don't ultimately know what they're going to do here. This is a very interesting puzzle. Who is the name, first of all?
Nick Mears.
Tell me,
I believe, right? That
was it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me what makes you think Nick Mears could get some saves.
Part of it's the stuff. We've all seen it. But part of it is the way the Brewers, like, talk about him and treat him. You can kind of tell where players stand in the organization's mind with how they use them. In Mears' case, specifically, it was coming off the injury. He had not been good. I think he gave up, like, 5 homers in, like, 10 innings or something like
that.
Yeah,
it was frightening.
He came off the injured list. He had 2 outings right before the playoffs to showcase his stuff if he could. First one in Pittsburgh. Gave up 2 runs, including a home run.
Yeah.
And then he pitched again, I think, in the final series or something along those lines. And he was okay, but not great. And sure enough, there was, like, never a question about if Nick Mears was on the playoff roster once he came back.
Right.
It was very apparent that they were going to include him. And then he was pitching pretty important innings and pitched the 7th inning of a scoreless tie in a decisive wild card game. Now, part of that was, like, they needed someone to pitch and it was right-handers. But still, they clearly view Nick Mears in a very high light in terms of his potential. And honestly, I can see it.
Yeah. If I go back and look, I know Trevor McGill had one of these. Devin, I'm sure, had a bunch. Just truly dominant innings when they come in and just eviscerate 3 people. Not necessarily 3 strikeouts, but well located. Nobody's catching it up to it. People are off balance. I saw that a couple times from Nick Mears.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean anything. That's a teeny tiny sample. But there were a couple. You can tell when relievers are capable of having it.
Yeah.
And certainly he is on that list. But this is the list of relievers that they're looking at right now. You've got Trevor McGill, who will obviously make this team. And Nick Mears will probably obviously make this team.
Yep.
Jared Koenig.
On the team.
Yoel Piamps.
On the team.
Brian Hudson.
On the team.
Who is a puzzle because he probably is not the type of guy who can go multiple days in a row, but still very, very effective. Now we get into, okay, so that's 5 guys. Connor Thomas as a Rule 5 guy, you've got to think at least gets a start. You know, not a start as in the rotation, but starts the year.
Gets a look at it, yeah.
So that's already 6 guys. Then it's Elvis Peguero, Abner Uribe, Craig Yoho, one of D.L. Hall or Aaron Ashby.
Yep.
And
Perhaps both.
Jacob Mizorowski, Grant Anderson, whom they just traded for. They just acquired him.
But he has options.
He does. But he's going to probably get a nice long look. I feel like I'm not even mentioning a couple people who will probably get. I mean, obviously there are going to be more than those guys who contribute on this team, but there's a lot of names still that, you know, Grant Wolfram is the guy that
David Garcia is in there.
Yep. David Garcia for sure. We can't forget about that. You know, I think Casey Hunt is going to play his way into
JB Bukauskas,
Logan Henderson, Chad Patrick has a spot on the 40 man now. They just re-signed Thomas Pannone. Bruce Zimmerman is a minor league guy that they brought in. Obviously, every team has a lot of relief pitchers, but these are all guys who will probably pitch in the big leagues this year. And I'm fascinated to know where they start. You know, like how do they – some of these guys are not going to get a fair shake, I think. I don't
know. Everyone's going to pitch up here at some point unless you're like out of options and you get DFA'd.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Connor Thomas probably is not in the best eight there, but they're – are a lot of guys with options like at the back end of that group, like Abner Ribe, Bukowski still has that option. Obviously Mizrowski is not even on the 40 man. I think Peguero's out of options. Is that,
I think he is correct.
Too. I think they burned it this last year.
Yeah.
So that's going to be maybe the most interesting name in spring because his roster spot is for sure not secured, but his stuff is for sure some of the best.
If I'm reading this right, Peguero not only has options remaining, but might have two remaining. According to this list, Ashby would still have two, Hudson, Koenig, Peguero, Uribe, and then a couple guys in the position, you know, Joey Ortiz, Blake Perkins. One option remaining, you're talking Bukowskis, you're talking McGill even. Milner's gone. But then out of options would be guys like Mears, Piamps. Bryce Wilson, who's not in the picture anymore, Rob Zastrzyzny, who is gone. So there really wouldn't be that many guys who don't have at least some optionality there.
There's a lot of guys legitimately earning their roster spot. The only ones I feel going into camp that like have a roster spot are what, Freddie, Woody, Tobias Myers.
Well, Woody, are you sure? Is he healthy?
Like, he's healthy, of course.
Does he play right away?
Yeah, but if he's healthy, he is. That's for all these guys, if they're healthy. Cortez. Yeah,
for sure.
The starters, whatever. The starters, they're fairly set in stone. You know, with Savali, even if he's in there, he's on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, JR, it's like Koenig's on it, McGill's on it, Piamps is on it, Mears is on it. Maybe Hudson. I don't even want to put Hudson in that group.
Where's Craig Yoho going to go?
Nashville?
How we get? No.
Don't worry, JR.
We're done with the Nashville stuff.
They will be here. He has three options. He is not on the 40 man. He ain't making this team. They took a guy in the Rule 5 draft.
Why did they do that? They shouldn't have done that.
Because they like him.
I don't know. The last time they took a guy in the Rule 5.
He's good.
Draft.
He is good.
I'm not disparaging Gus
yes,
Varland.
Yes, you are. No, I can tell where you're going.
No,
with
I'm
it.
Not. I'm just saying Gus Varland was on this team for what, 2 weeks?
Well, there were disagreements about whether he should be on the team from various corners of the Milwaukee Brewers because the flexibility thing limited it. And guess what? Gus Varland is a good big league pitcher.
Yeah, he's good. You said corners, and I winced a little bit because I started thinking about first and third base again. And it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough until they can bring in somebody else. Any names? You know, like I look at the list of remaining MLB free agents. It's not a bad list, but it's still guys. Like if you go through the top 10 to 12, it's like, well, the Brewers aren't getting any of those guys. So we're not quite to that point.
Is Hassan Kim not on that list still?
He is. Oh, yeah. He's a top 10. I don't think the Brewers are going to get him. I think he's going to resign with San Diego.
Okay.
Quite honestly, because San Diego hasn't done anything. And if, you know, he might be just testing what is the market for a guy who's going to miss a chunk of the start of the season with an injury. He's going to be a guy that comes back to San Diego. That's my feeling. Not that I know anything more than anybody else. You know, do you have a feel that there's somebody out there who fits still what the Brewers are looking for?
There's someone out there. Sure.
I know you're out there. Hey, let's talk about Wade Miley a little bit before we
go.
You caught up with him. You and Wade had a chat.
Wade's the best.
Said intimated that he would like to come back to the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yes.
You think he's coming back, right? They'll find a way to make that work, don't you think?
Possibly.
Okay, you don't feel certainly though.
You
think it's just a possibility.
I mean, it just has to work out for both sides, and I think you kind of look at it as like, oh, minor league deal. That's easy, make it happen. But it's not quite that easy because like a guy with that much service time is going to want real incentives and real money with the incentives on there. Even if he's not coming back for money, like you just want to be paid for what you do. And sure, the Brewers, you know, that's not the hardest thing to figure out, but maybe there will be other teams that I'm not saying they'll give them a big league deal, but give more money or willing to, you know, drop the incentives even lower or whatever. It may ultimately not just work out. The Brewers do have minor league signing pitching depth. I would like it to happen. We love Wade. Wade's one of the best for the media to deal with.
Yeah.
It would make a lot of sense for both sides. It should happen, in my opinion, but I'm not going to say it absolutely will happen because the two sides weren't like, you know, on the verge of a deal. They had just talked a little bit, and it was clear that it wasn't at a point of like being close to happening then. But yeah, Wade doesn't want to pitch in a lot of places. Milwaukee is one of the couple spots that he would actually still pitch in. So why would you not want to have that guy in the clubhouse in spring at the very least?
He rules. He rules. He's fun time. And I think he can help them. I mean, I think their rotation with Cortez is better, but you'd like to see a couple more options, I think.
He will pitch to this defense. That's for sure.
Yeah. Jack Flaherty, you think maybe? Yeah,
no.
No, I don't either. Trying to get into that like pitching market a little bit. You know, Tanner Scott is still out there. Kirby Yates is still out there.
No.
There's still some high-level relievers. No, I don't think the Brewers are in on either of those guys. But high-level relievers to the point where I think, you know, the big market teams are still going to be involved.
There are parts of the market that are interesting. Like Brewers aside, the fact that relievers really haven't, like there was some early deals, like Chapman went for big money.
Yeah.
And then the rest of them are just still sitting there.
Yeah, Jeff Hoffman is still sitting
there. Yeah.
Carlos Estevez.
Hoffman wants to start.
Maybe the Brewers are the land of opportunity there if he wants that. But it feels like they're going to, no, it doesn't feel like this, but knowing how this never goes how you think it is, they end up signing like an Alex Verdugo and you're like, where are they going to play him? We'll figure it out later.
Yeah, they'll get someone. Brewers will get someone.
All right, Kurt, any last thoughts before I let you go? I don't know what you're writing about these days. UWM? Panthers?
Panthers, baby.
Not a lot going on otherwise.
Panthers, baby. No, I don't go down to spring for another like 2 months, basically. So Todd's going down in a few weeks, but I'm still chilling.
All right.
I will be in 2 months, though. I will be a pool boy.
Pool boy, not a priest. Pool boy. I am wearing the exact shirt.
You are wearing the pool boy
that I was talking about. It's this top button is just a tricky in-between land.
You're on the two buttons today, though.
Right, so
you're going priest.
Today we're doing priest. Yeah.
That's probably smart given the context.
Yeah.
We are in the office.
It's buttoned up season. Plus it's, you know, winter outside. So it always calls for an extra button or two. I don't know what the Tampa Bay version of me is doing. Probably looking at whether or not he should move to someplace closer to the new facility, the Steinbrenner Field or whatever it is. Which I guess is probably not too far away from Tropicana Field. I am not intimately familiar with the...
Oh, no, it's pretty far.
Is it?
Okay. It's in Tampa.
Oh, okay. I guess I didn't realize that. So we're talking... You could see somebody changing addresses to get to that field a little more conveniently.
Yeah.
Steinbrenner Field to Tropicana Field. How many miles do you think this
is? It's probably actually better for Tampa fans because I feel like, I mean, not a ton of people live in St. Pete. And that legitimately is a barrier for going to those games.
Yeah.
I knew it before I covered a series there. And then I stayed in Tampa and drove in. And then I really knew it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's an isthmus, right? Is that the word that we use for St. Petersburg? I probably not, because we're talking about a bay. We're talking about an ocean. It's probably a peninsula.
Peninsula, yeah. Madison is an isthmus.
That's right. That's right. Yes, because it is a narrow stretch of land between two lakes, not an ocean setting here where you're peninsula-ing it out. Yeah, this is much better for Tampa fans. It's about 20 miles away, but you got to cross. Yeah,
congrats
Tampa Bay.
On losing your stadium.
Yeah.
This is better for you.
Oh, yeah. Congrats.
And that new stadium you were going to build? Oh, boy. About that.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, Tampa JR is shopping for new teams.
That's exactly right. I was just going to say that. Tampa Kurt and Tampa JR are really exploring their life choices right now. Much closer to Dinosaur World. What's that? Anyway, we should get out of here. We got nothing more to say. The Milwaukee Brewers are, you know, when they do something substantive, we will be back here on the Microbrew Podcast talking all about it. Kurt, thank you for joining me, man. It's always a pleasure.
Sure.
Sure. Let's go get lunch. Let's go somewhere. We'll talk to you again very soon. Bye-bye, everybody.
Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Pro savings days are back at Lowe's. My Lowe's Pro Rewards members save even more with limited-time doorbuster deals. Save $5 on 24-count Contractor's Choice 42-gallon trash bags, now just $14.78. Plus, get your choice select DeWalt Elite Series saw blades for $9.98. Not a Pro Rewards member? Join for free today at Lowe's. Valid through 9/17. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.